news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Well, the Senate pulled an all-nighter Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, and put the exclamation point on Infrastructure Week.
After years and years of Infrastructure Week, we're on the cusp of an infrastructure decade that I truly believe will transform America.
Tuesday afternoon, the Senate voted to advance the so-called bipartisan infrastructure package following months of negotiations. The final vote was 69 to 30. I guess that made it bipartisan, as 19 Republicans joined all the Democrats, though it's far from certain if it'll retain that designation when it goes to the House. But that's still to come. Then, early Wednesday morning, Senate Democrats approved their $3.5 trillion budget resolution. That sets the stage to write the so-called soft infrastructure package that expands Medicare, deals with climate change, child care, education, and other Democratic priorities. But before that final vote, which only needed 50 votes to pass, the Senate had to get through a 15-hour-long overnight votorama of amendments. Now, keep in mind, these amendments are non-binding, but it does provide a look at where each side stands. For example, one amendment calling for a ban on fracking saw eight so-called Democrats voting with all the Republicans. In case you're wondering, those eight were Michael Bennett and John Hickenlooper of Colorado, Bob Casey of Pennsylvania, Martin Heinrich and Ben Ray Lujan of New Mexico, Angus King of Maine, Joe Manchin of West Virginia, and John Tester of Montana. Another amendment that would prevent federal funding for fossil fuel burning power plants saw Mark Kelly and Kyrsten Sinema, along with Manchin and Tester, crossing the aisle to vote with the Republicans. Kelly, Sinema, and Manchin also voted with the Republicans to means test tax credits for electric vehicles. There were other similar head-scratch-inducing votes, like Joe Manchin being the only Democrat to join every Republican in supporting Tom Cotton's amendment prohibiting the teaching of critical race theory in K-12 schools. But shortly before 4 a.m. Wednesday morning, the budget resolution passed along party lines 50 to 49. Senator Mike Rounds of South Dakota was absent, he said, because he was accompanying his wife to cancer treatments. But he did release a statement saying that he opposed the legislation. Next, it goes to the House for approval. So the resolution needs to be approved by both chambers before the Democrats can move on to the reconciliation plan, which must still be drafted and will be considered in the fall. But the House is on recess, ostensibly until September 20th. But Majority Leader Steny Hoyer sent a letter to colleagues Tuesday saying that the chamber plans to return the week of August 23rd to consider the budget resolution. Then, only after both chambers pass it will Democrats be able to use the process known as budget reconciliation to pass the legislation on a party line vote. And then the final bill will need to clear the Senate without losing a single vote, as they have none to spare. And already, Senators Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema are both making noises about the price tag, saying that they have a problem with the $3.5 trillion number. Back to the all-night session. Once the votorama was completed and the budget resolution passed, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer then discharged the revised For the People Act. Of course, Senator Ted Cruz of Texas objected. Schumer then asked to bring up the Redistricting Reform Act, which limits partisan gerrymandering. Cruz objected to that one, too. So Schumer tried again, this time to bring up the Disclose Act, which requires additional campaign finance disclosure. And Cruz did it again. And then he tried to bring up his own legislation that would eliminate contribution limits to campaigns, to which Chuck Schumer objected. So before they left the floor, Schumer announced that the Senate would consider those compromise voting rights bills when the chamber returns from recess in September. Although this is and should be the top priority for every senator, and it does have the support of all the Democrats, as things stand now, it will not pass because of the filibuster. So I guess Chuck Schumer has a month to figure that one out. So that's a lot of news for a Tuesday in August, huh? But wait, there's more. No one really expected New York Governor Andrew Cuomo to announce his resignation Tuesday afternoon when he went before the cameras, but that's what he did.
And I think that given the circumstances, the best way I can help now is if I step aside and let government get back to governing. And therefore, that's what I'll do. Because I work for you. And doing the right thing is doing the right thing for you.
Andrew Cuomo on Tuesday announcing his resignation, this following multiple allegations of sexual harassment. Cuomo said his resignation would be effective in 2 weeks to allow for a smooth transition to Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul, who will become New York State's first female governor. Things are getting even weirder in Texas, where the Texas House Speaker, Dade Phelan, signed arrest warrants on Tuesday for the 52 Democrats who left the state and failed to return to Austin for a special session. The Democrats left the state last month for Washington in order to deny the Republicans of the quorum necessary to pass new voting restrictions in the state. This happened after the Texas Supreme Court overturned an order that protected the Democrats who left. What a mess. Another Texas story, 5 of the major school districts in Texas are apparently bucking Governor Abbott's ban on mask mandates. Similar situation in Florida, where Broward County on Tuesday doubled down on its decision to keep a mask mandate intact when school starts next week. This after he first threatened to cut funding for any district that dared to put in a mask mandate. And then he doubled down by threatening the salaries of school officials and district superintendents who went against his order. Amazing. Meanwhile, the situation in Florida is so bad that the federal government's Strategic National Stockpile has sent hundreds of ventilators to the state. An official with the Department of Health and Human Services told NBC News that Florida received 200 ventilators, 100 smaller breathing devices, and related supplies. As of Tuesday, there were 14,787 COVID-19 patients in hospitals in Florida. That's 145% more than during the state's last peak last July. Almost 90% of intensive care beds and 85% of all patient beds are full, and health officials are saying most people hospitalized are not vaccinated. And despite these numbers, the governor said he will not reverse his ban on mask mandates. Lovely. And now Florida is also bracing for another hit as Tropical Storm Fred has officially formed. It's crossing Puerto Rico with heavy rains and gusts, and Florida is in the cone of uncertainty. Here we go again. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.